Hello and welcome to another episode of the Worst Sister Shire podcast. We're the Worst Sisters and we're covering our favourite TV shows and movies in the style of a podcast. This week, we're covering our episode of Shadewood, where we're slowly going through the episodes of Pretty Little Liars. This week, we're covering Season 4, Episode 18, which is called Hot for Teacher, one of my personal favourite episodes. We have a motto, and our motto is, if attempted murder is a crime, then attempted comedy is a podcast.
I'm Suna.
I'm Sadie.
And I'm Arzom.
We're the Worst Sisters. So we'll just get into it. I'll give you a quick recap about what happens in this episode to refresh your memory. And then we'll just start talking about what we liked and what we didn't. So in this episode, see Spencer starting to form a bit of a pill addiction. Hannah is starting a book club with Holbrook, apparently, without the monthly meetings. Emily's been trying to get back in touch with Ali through Shana. Ezra's just being a creep, basically, luring Arya away to his cabin and asking her to get chickpeas. So those are the episodes. As usual, we'll go through and talk about our favourite storylines in the show. Who did you guys want to start with?
I reckon we start with Hannah. She doesn't have much to do with the central drama, does she?
No, not really. Besides trying to spy on Spencer.
Who's spying on Ezra? Okay, well, if we're starting with Hannah, first things first. WTF, I hate this whole her and Holbrook buddy-buddy situation.
I know, it's weird.
Can literally the men of this town make friends their own age?
No.
Cool. But yeah, so Holbrook and her have been, I guess, speaking about books and stuff like we saw last episode. And ever since Hannah's last dentist visit with A, she's putting the mysteries away for a while. And so now her and Holbrook have very little to talk about besides her shoes. There was this one scene that kind of bugged me about, like, the whole Hannah and Holbrook relationship in particular annoys me. But this one scene with Arya, when Hannah mentions that she's been hanging out with Holbrook or saying
something with Gabe.
Yeah, that's right. And Arya's like, I didn't even know he had a first name. And now you're calling him Gabe. Her immediate thing is, like, does he like fashion? Like, she can't have any other interests. I'm sick of everyone acting like Hannah's dumb.
Yeah, I know. Why is she even friends with these bitches, honestly? No wonder A is stalking them.
I know.
Like, this is their own friend and they're, like, constantly a bitch to her.
I know.
Yeah, but yeah, that's about it. With Hannah, all she does in these episodes is spy on Spencer and talk to Holbrook.
Yeah, literally. So,
I like the scene where she does get her heels back from Holbrook and she's like, oh my God, it feels like I have feet again.
Like, I know.
She took off one pair of heels to put on another pair of heels. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand either.
And then he tries to impress a teenager because he knows Arthur Doyle.
I don't, so.
Sherlock Holmes author.
Oh, is that really who wrote it?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was someone else.
I'm pretty sure Arthur Conan Doyle, I'm pretty sure.
Arthur Conan Doyle wrote Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
what I'm reiterating.
But did you guys know that Arthur Doyle wrote Sherlock Holmes?
Oh, did he? Hey guys, does anyone know who wrote Sherlock Holmes?
Oh, I think it was Arthur Doyle.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Weird. Okay, I had no idea.
Yeah. Sadie?
Oh.
Mm.
Do you know who Arthur Doyle is?
No, but I know who Arthur Conan Doyle is.
Oh, who's that?
His name is Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and he wrote Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, cool.
Mate, you're not a cop trying to impress a teenager, okay? Calm down.
Did you know that the attention is in the detail?
Yeah, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the first and only person who knows to pay attention to detail.
And then the other thing that I really liked about Holbrook is how, this is probably more for Spencer's timeline actually, but when Spencer and Hannah had that fight, and Holbrook is just standing there basically eating a donut.
I know.
I don't think he's eating anything. I think he's just standing there staring. Like, do you guys not realize the cop just standing there 2 centimeters behind you staring into your mouths as you talk?
The conversation wasn't particularly private. She was just like, you were at your house when you said you weren't. And she was like, leave me alone, Hannah.
Still, like, very weird.
It is.
Yeah, and that's it for Hannah. I don't have anything else for her. All right, so Emily, as we remember last time, she tried to meet up with Ali and Spencer ruined the whole thing. So now she's basically, like, going around begging Shana to be like, please, for the love of God, let me see Ali. And
Shana,
like,
please, just a crumb of Allison.
I know, and Shana's like, don't think so, because, oh yeah, she tried to meet with you, but you blew it. So no.
I know, like, the absolute sass for no reason, like.
I know. Just before we get into what actually happens there, we start the episode with Shana talking to Ali on the phone.
Yeah, on the mobile phone.
Yeah, she's on her mobile phone in this booth. I guess it's for privacy, the booth, because it's inside the coffee shop. So they're like, if you're going to be on your phone, here, go in this little...
Doesn't that make it more suspicious?
What's suspicious? If I want to talk to my doctor and I go in there, is that suspicious?
I don't know.
If you call us and tell us there's something weird coming out of your butt and I'm in public, do you not want me to go somewhere private?
Okay, exactly. Fine.
Thank you.
I feel like it's not private to have, it's not suspicious to have an area for private conversations.
I feel like it's suspicious. I've never seen a little booth out in public for you to have a private conversation.
But she didn't bring the booth in there. The coffee shop just had one.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not carting around this booth. All right, so Shana's in this booth and she's talking to Ellie.
The booth that she brought in.
She dragged in a booth with her because it's suspicious. And Ellie is telling her that she wants her to go get something. But she also tells her, no, you can't say that to her yet. I don't want her to know. So I'm guessing that this is about, because we find out what it was. She's talking about Jessica De Laurentiis there. So Shana's like, yeah, no problems. And then Emily's trying to get Shana to, you know, get her in touch with Ellie. Then... as we were talking, Hannah is stalking Spencer. But while they're stalking Spencer, they see from next door that Shana is coming out of Mrs. De Laurentiis' house.
Yeah.
And this starts them going on all sorts of conspiracy theories about...
Mrs. De Laurentiis knowing that Allison's alive?
Yeah, her knowing that Allison's alive because she just spoke to Ellie and then she went there like, oh my God. Like, that's not a theory because I can just talk to anyone and then go anywhere. Those two things aren't necessarily connected.
And also, they didn't know that she spoke to Ellie. They assumed she spoke to Ellie.
I know. They couldn't hear what we heard.
And also, that was the previous night. Like, when they're staking Spencer out, it's probably the next day.
Yeah. And I feel like it's not that sus, especially if, like Shana says, she grew up in Georgia right next to her parents her whole life, that you're going to go visit your dead friend's mum. Like, that's not sus.
No, it's not sus.
Because you grew up next door to them, she's probably, like, you know, close to you. So they just, literally, like, jump to this massive conclusion, which happens to be correct. She was there to look for something, but she wasn't there because Jessica knew that she was alive. But she was there to look for something, and she told Emily that she couldn't actually get it because Jessica De Laurentiis was with her the whole time. I guess she missed her. But, like, how did you expect to be left alone when you're visiting someone's house anyway? Like,
yeah, I know.
It's not normal for people to just leave you in random rooms alone.
Yeah, I know. I hate when people say things like that on TV shows because it's like, I couldn't get away from her. I couldn't get a moment alone. But, like, they're hosting you. What were you expecting? Like, literally, what do you want them to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Time you guys come to my house, I'm just going to ignore you all and just leave you to your own.
Yeah, that's also fine because you know what? We grew up together.
Yeah.
That's not that weird.
It's not a formal hosting.
No. But it's like, for example, if I went over to your friend's mum's house and she just left me in her house alone for no reason.
Yeah, it'll be weird. Anyway, so because Shana was unsuccessful in retrieving the thing she went in there to get, she starts to use Emily now. She says, okay, I'll help you talk to Ellie, but there's one thing that you need to do. She tells her about, there's this envelope. I'm guessing she tells her, we don't see it until after it happens. But she tells her about the envelope behind the painting. So Emily sneaks into the house, pretends she lost an earring. And Mrs. D does leave her alone for a little bit. So she gets the envelope out from behind the thing. Now, Shana says to her that, oh, you weren't supposed to look in there. But Emily did. And what was in there was some money and a piece of paper that had like an email address or something on it. What was on it?
Yeah, it was an email address. But also like... how are you meant to go pick something up for someone and it's an envelope that feels weird and heavy and you're not going to look inside it?
I know.
Like, don't lie. It wasn't even sealed. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah, literally.
Like, I'm going to look inside it.
Obviously.
So she gets this money and she goes to the brew where she works and she's on the phone to Shana and she's like, where the hell am I supposed to put $5,000? Like, I'm still at work. I can't do anything with it.
She's like, screaming a little louder, mate.
She does, first of all, the smartest thing she can do is she puts it into her apron right in front of her. And it's like, yeah, it's on you. It's safe. Why would you then take it out and put it into a bag of coffee beans and stick it under the fucking counter?
At a cafe where people make coffee.
Because you want to be as sus as possible.
Oh, my God. I was like, my heart was racing. I was like, oh, my God, someone's going to pick this up. She's going to lose this $5,000.
That's exactly what I thought as well. Someone's going to dump that into the coffee machine. It's going to get ground up.
Like, if I was Emily, I literally would have just left it in my apron because it's on me all the time. Like, why would you not?
Exactly.
But also, like, how long has that money been there? Allison's been missing for, like, 5 years now at this stage. Like, she was missing for a year first, then she was dead for, like, 3 years, and now they find this money, $5,000 after all that time.
Also, where did that 15-year-old have $5,000 in their painting?
I know. Not to mention, she would have had to have some money to get her this far so far. How much money did she have? Why did she leave $5,000 behind?
She was blackmailing people. Where did she get her money? The biggest question is that neither of you thought about is that Ali's room had been packed up and reset out multiple times at this point. That picture has been picked up and put back. Like, are you not going to hear that envelope rolling around? Like, it wasn't taped down or anything. She literally stuck her hand and then it was there.
Okay, so maybe instead of, like, shaking about, they just handled it with care.
Yeah, that could be it.
Nah, not it.
Unlikely. So then Shana is supposed to meet Emily to collect the money from her to give it to Allison. But as she gets into her car, we just hear her scream and goes to black, right?
Yeah.
Later on, we see that Shana has woken up and she is at the Leaving Rosewood sign. And it had a graffiti on there saying, like, don't come back or something like that, right? What did it say? I don't remember.
I was so confused by this because it didn't say don't come back. But now that I'm, like, realizing what it was, like, after you've said it to me, I paused and stared at this sign for like 10 minutes both times I watched the episode. I didn't understand it until you said don't come back because it was welcome back and they graffitied don't over well. So you're correct.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand that the first like 3 times I watched this episode. I was like, what is the rest of the message? It just says don't. What do you mean?
It was don't come back. That's right. That's exactly what it was. But like, okay, first of all, I feel like this scene was so dumb because Shana literally asked no questions. She broke her phone and drove away. She could have finished her phone call because Allison had called her. That's when she woke up. Allison called her. She woke up and Allison's like, where are you? Where's the money? She stares at the sign and is like, there's nothing I can do. I've got to go. Bye. Can't help you anymore. Breaks her phone, throws it and leaves. Like, okay, I know that something just traumatic just happened to you, but you can drive away and tell her, holy shit, someone just kidnapped me and put me at the, you know, blah, blah, blah. Emily has your money.
She's probably thinking that someone's, you know, kidnapped her, knocked her out, and then done something to her phone. Like, what if they're listening on the phone call? She doesn't want all of Ali's work to be for nothing.
I didn't get that vibe. I got the vibe she was just panicked and just left.
Yeah, I got the vibe she was just panicked and didn't want somebody to trace. And then Allison was, like, really upset because now she doesn't know what to do. She's out of money.
Yeah, she had, like, $60 left in her wallet. If she wasn't such a raging bitch, someone wouldn't have tried to kill her.
Yeah, I guess so. Or she'd be able to narrow down the pool of suspects.
At the very least, yeah, correct.
They're like, it honestly could be anyone in this freaking town. I terrorized everyone.
And also out of this town because now it's extending to Georgia.
Yeah. It's like she gets called in for a police interview. Do you have anyone who'd want to see you dead? Okay, you're going to need more paper. Go get more paper and more pens.
Exactly.
Are we done with Emily now?
Yeah. This is all that happened to her.
Spencer.
So Spencer is trying to suss out if Ezra is A because she made the big revelation about the board shorts ale in the last episode.
Yeah.
But she's trying to suss it out without telling Ari.
And can I just say, this is like the most logical jump to conclusion that Spencer's done because of the pie and the board shorts ale.
Yeah.
But I don't think Ezra is the only one who drinks that beer.
Yeah. Also, I love that just the perfect timing of him being there eating those two exact things as she walked in. She didn't even need to suss it out.
The universe is like, yeah, 10 out of 10. Come on, Spencer. Look over here. Look at this shiny thing.
I know, right?
If Ezra is A and, you know, he's the one who went in and stole the book back from them from his own cabin and stuff like that and had been trying to figure it out and everything, you would think after reading the story, you would go somewhere else and order something different.
No. He's a creature of habit.
Literally. Anyway, yeah. So Spencer is on his tail.
Spencer's trying to suss it out without telling Aria what's going on. And Aria's getting super defensive that, you know, she's not dating Ezra now. She's just taking time for herself.
Which I would love if she actually did, but
I know. In the meantime, though, She's also forming quite a bit of a drug habit. So we saw her start in the last episode, starting to get the ADHD medication from Andrew.
Yep.
And he's out. So she approaches Brenda, who seems smart, and she sees her taking a tablet in the broad open daylight at lunch.
Which could be anything. That could be Panadol.
But anyway, she goes to buy the drugs from Brenda, and Brenda is raking it in. So she's charging $10 a pop for these pills. And when Spencer's like, oh my God, $10 for one pill, she's like, don't try and bargain, Spencer. It's tacky.
Yeah. And also Spencer, who is super rich, might I add, is like, oh, I was hoping you could just spare a few.
I know.
Like, if you're going to be a drug addict, be a good one and pay them.
Yeah.
Be a good one and pay them.
So she gets her little hit from Brenda. She gets like 5 pills. Then Ezra comes up to her in the hallway, and apparently she's gotten a low grade on some paper that she did. She's gotten a C-. It's a very intense scene because all of a sudden, like, Ezra starts sounding evil every time he says anything, even though he didn't sound like that 2 episodes ago.
I know. And so, well, the things he's saying is, like, completely, like, valid that a teacher would ask for a regular A student suddenly turned in a C- paper from Wikipedia.
Yeah, but also, like, in the weirdest way possible. So, like, oh, you thought I wouldn't know what you were up to. Like, just, like, all these undertones of things that he was saying. He basically tried to offer her a do-over because she's not typically like this. And she was like, no thanks, I'll take the shitty grade.
That's exactly why you didn't get into UPenn, Spencer.
I know. It's all your fault. But yeah, so she's taking all these pills, but she's still, like, flunking school now, even though she's a genius. Because she's taking them to just stalk Ezra. Like, just sleep and stalk him during the day. You're not going to school anyway.
I know.
You guys literally are never in class.
And also, if you did want to stalk Ezra, school would be a good place to start. He shows up to his job.
Literally.
She's been lying to everyone, basically, about what she's been doing. She's been acting like, you know, school's the thing that's really stressing her out. And because Hannah's been on her mystery novel kick, she picks this up. She says that, like, Spencer's drinking herbal tea when she's strictly espresso and she's still, like, over-caffeinated and everything like that. Like, I'm worried. And she decides she wants to spend time with Spencer because she's worried about her, but Spencer keeps blowing her off. She's going to stalk Spencer, who's stalking Ezra. So yeah. Hannah decides she's going to call Mrs. Hastings and say, hey, I need to get nail polish back from Spencer. Can I go through her room? And Spencer's mum says, yeah, sure, come on over.
Yeah, it's urgent. I cannot live without this nail polish.
I know. She goes over and starts snooping through Spencer's computer. Is looking up her search history, which is just Ezra Fitzravenswood.
Yeah, Ezra Fitzravenswood address.
Ezra Fitzgerald Ravenswood. And she figures out that Spencer's on this trail of Ezra being A. And so she follows Spencer to his apartment building where she's basically breaking in.
She's, like, tripping out on, like, these pills, though, while she's doing it.
So, yeah. When they get to Ezra's apartment, Hannah tries to tell her that it's crazy that it's Ezra, that, like, he helped them out so much with things. He's the best pedo they know.
He ain't hardly groomed our friend.
I know. Hannah's like, nah, you wild. And then Spencer's like, just check with me. Let's just see what happens, right?
Let's just break and enter and we'll see what happens.
Exactly. Just a little breaking and entering. Nothing we haven't done before. Exactly. So they go upstairs to outside Ezra's apartment. And then through the little, like, air vent on the floor, Spencer sees the biggest, brightest red light you've ever seen on a camera.
I know.
And she figures out that they're being recorded. She assumes that there's audio also being recorded. Because she's like to Hannah, oh, just go along with this. And she's like, oh, I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, I must be so exhausted. I just need to
sleep.
I just need to sleep. Of course Ezra isn't A.
I know.
Bye.
Spencer did not win an Oscar, I'll tell you that. My favorite thing about this scene is that Hannah is stalking Spencer, who's stalking Ezra, and Ezra's stalking Spencer, who's stalking him.
Yeah. It's like that scene in My Best Friend's Wedding. Have you guys seen that?
I've seen the movie, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Julia Roberts is like, she upset Cameron Diaz's character and she takes off and then the husband takes off after her and then Julia Roberts takes off after him and then her best friend George is like, so he's chasing her, you're chasing him, but who's chasing you?
Oh, yeah, that's such a good scene.
I love it.
Such a good movie.
One of the best movies ever made. Oh, so good.
Agreed. I think we wrap up Spencer's storyline with her inviting Emily over with Hannah as well to kind of say this is why I think Ezra is A and lucky Arya is in Syracuse with her dad.
When she is not.
Syracuse meaning the woods and her dad meaning Ezra.
Exactly. Exactly. On to Arya. Arya really annoyed the shit out of me this episode because she's back to season one lying to everyone about everything just so she can date a pedophile.
But also, like, it's her own fault that she's in this mess. But she's like, oh, I had to lie to everyone just so I could get away with you for one weekend. But, like, mate, that was your own choice. You did all of this.
Yes, exactly. And you know why you have to lie to everyone? Because he's your teacher and it's inappropriate and you know it. It's not people aren't going to understand. It's that it's illegal and not allowed.
But I also feel like part of it is that she just loves the drama because she could tell her parents and her friends because she's already been through this with them before. Like, yes, she can't tell the school, but she can't tell the people close to her where she is so they know she's alive.
Yeah, but Byron 100% is going to be like, oh, you're dating a teacher again. I'm going to get him fired again. I'm going to do this again. Like, Byron will just start again.
Good. I'm team Byron on that one. They're just raising themselves in that house of horrors.
Yeah, Arya, who is like a year older than Mike, is now raising him. And she's like, oh, I can't go anywhere this weekend because I've got to take care of Mike.
Literally so hard to be a teenage mum with a son who's just 1 year younger than you.
I know, literally.
Also, when is her mum coming back? Like, sorry, but she was supposed to go for like a year or whatever.
Has it been more than a year? I don't think so.
I think she only left this season.
Anyway, we know Rosewood times aren't regular times. We have exactly. No idea how long it's been. It's probably been a day for them.
I know.
She's in Denmark pursuing her dreams.
Austria. Pursuing her boyfriend's dreams to be a pastry chef.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ezra invites Arya to go to the cabin. He wants to spend some time alone with her. And she says, I can't swing it. I have to raise my baby brother. He's like, can't Mike stay at a friend's house? Can't you organize this? Whatever. He keeps finding excuses and basically guilt trips her into saying, yes, okay, I'll figure some things out. I'll lie to everyone I know so I can do this for you. She does just that. She tells her dad that she's staying over at Hannah's and Mike is going to go stay somewhere else. She tells her friend she's going to go stay with her dad in Syracuse because she needs a break from Mona and Mike. And off she goes into the woods where no one knows where she is or who she's with.
Yeah.
But once she's there, she can't sleep very well because she feels bad for lying to everyone she knows. And then Ezra's like, don't you think it's a good thing that you have to lie to everyone you know because it means we're getting close? And she's like, oh my God, so true, babe. Babe, so true.
I know. Like, grooming at its finest.
I know.
She was like, maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it's a good thing that literally no one in your life can know about this and you're uncomfortable and have to lie to everyone because it means we're special and close. That's basically what he said verbatim, so.
But while she's lying to everyone, before she ends up going to the woods with him, she keeps going back to this bloody counselor. Like, does she want to date him next? I don't understand what's going on.
Maybe.
Because she goes there. She's
trying to spill the beans.
She just wants drama, I feel like. Like, she can't tell Hannah, but she goes and tells the counselor. And she's like, oh, I have to lie to everyone about my boyfriend. And he's like, oh, why? And then she's like, I have to go now.
I also hate it. When any of these girls are like, okay, for example, like last few episodes ago, we're like, oh, Caleb, this was the best year of my life. Is it though? You were in high school, you got hit by a car, whatever, all that shit we talked about. And then she's like, me and this guy, we have a really long history. It's like, we calculated that it's been max like a year. Like, that's not a long history. Like, it's a year of your 16-year-old life. Like, it's not very long. And it's not that complicated. He's a pedophile.
Like, it's okay. Like, if you break up with someone when you're 16, you will love again.
You will.
Okay.
Probably next week.
Yeah. Like, it's okay. You will have a boyfriend waiting in the wings anyway. Just pick up another one. It doesn't
Even
matter.
Even Emily.
Then we're up to, like, my favorite bit of basically this whole show.
And she's not exaggerating when she says this. Can I tell you, when we started recording this podcast like almost 2 years ago, she has brought this up to me like, I want to say roughly once a fortnight since then.
Can't wait for the chickpea episode.
Literally suna every day.
And we're finally here, the chickpea episode. So I love it when
I don't understand why you love the chickpeas so much.
It's so good. Okay, let me explain to you what happens with the chickpeas. So Ezra's at home in the woods where he's hiding away Arya, and he's cooking some food. He's making something Tunisian, and she comes home from taking photos somewhere, and he tells her what she's been doing, and she's like, ooh, a night in Tunisia, which is like, okay. He talks like that. And then he's like, oh shit, I'm a dumbass, I forgot these chickpeas. And Arya's like, oh, don't worry, like, I'll go get them. And he's like,
exactly what his word. Don't worry, babe, I'll go get them. Yeah. And I thought that made me sick to my stomach.
And he's like, oh, it's like an hour round trip, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, yeah, I wanted to take a photo of this covered bridge on the way. It's all good. Like, bye.
Because remember, I'm artsy and a photographer.
Yeah, exactly. That's all she does.
Also, if that was me, I would have just been like, sorry, we don't need chickpeas.
I know, same. Don't add chickpeas. We'll just have the veggies. It's fine.
Exactly.
Also, more accurately, I would have been like, are you sure? Open your damn eyes. Do you want me to check?
I know. Because also it was the can facing them right in his face.
It was the one right in his face. I know. And then, oh my God, the sinister music, the build-up, the tension, the way he turns the can around and it's chickpeas. Oh, so good. And you're like, Ezra, what are you hiding?
We know what he's hiding.
Oh my God. Has a TV show ever made chickpeas this dramatic? I'm asking you right now. Yes or no?
Absolutely not.
This is the best dramatization of a chickpea I've ever seen in my life.
I was with Suna the first time we watched Pretty Little Liars all the way through, and this was exactly her reaction. We had to pause it.
I loved it. Chickpea gate.
And another thing I wanted to say while we're talking about Arya and her fetching these chickpeas, by the time you come back from this hour-long trip to the shops, the food is going to be done. Like, what are you going to do with those chickpeas then?
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't even bother to go. Like, you're so remote.
Like, just eat whatever we have, mate. I'm not driving an hour for chickpeas. And then also, like, she didn't even ask, is there anything else we need? I'm driving an hour for these chickpeas. Like, imagine you come back and you have no milk.
I know.
Yeah.
F this.
Literally.
Do a stock, take, make a shopping list, go like that. You don't drive an hour for one can of chickpeas. Also, isn't she an environmentalist? What kind of environmentalist drives an hour for chickpeas?
The Arya kind.
So then he takes his little chickpeas and he goes down to his little lair underneath his house.
Yeah, so that's where the trap door leads, the one that we saw a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
It's his new lair.
And he's just spying on all of them.
There's a couple of things that I wanted to mention about this scene. Someone is sending him pictures. Like, he's got people watching these girls. Well, did you check out the email address?
No, what was it?
It was, like, his initials. Like, it's EF, like, customer EF, blah, 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 with, like, a number on it. So whoever's, like, watching these girls for him has his real name.
I assumed this was all of the cameras and things that he has set up sending him stuff.
Yeah, like movement cameras and things like that.
Mm. But then
that's what I was assuming.
They're like all over town and all over the school. And
okay, but also, if that is the case, how is Ezra affording all of this? How does he afford his apartment in Rosewood, his apartment in Ravenswood, his cabin in the woods, his all his spy equipment, potentially people to spy for him?
I'll tell you how right now.
He's a teacher that works part-time that's renounced his family.
I don't think he's actually renounced his family. I reckon he's like, you're right, Maggie was a stone cold bitch because that kid wasn't even mine. Give me money.
Yeah. Like, how's he affording this? A few seasons ago, Arya had to buy him breakfast because he had no food.
He had a fuzzy lime.
Meanwhile, he's got three places to live.
That's why he didn't have food. He was spending all his money on rent.
Like, my God. Nobody tell me teaching doesn't pay, okay? Because I see the way this guy lives.
I know. Literally.
He goes missing in the middle of the night. So they're staying over in the cabin and Arya wakes up to find him missing. But meanwhile, he is stalking Spencer, who's stalking him. So we see that the reason that he left was he went to Rosewood. And he was sitting in his car, he was watching the video. And I don't know what would have happened if Spencer didn't see the camera. But when she did her little act, he was watching her in real time.
So have you guys noticed that this idiot, every time he's going to do something, like, evil, he tilts his head or he's thinking something evil, he just tilts his head. And no one's noticing this. Like, he's got this creepy blank stare on his face, and then like a head tilt. Like, you know something's coming.
Yeah, but to be fair, they don't hear the sinister music that accompanies the head tilt. We do.
Yeah, and are you saying this about a show where people are literally sitting in each other's laps and mouths having a conversation and no one hears their plotting?
Yes.
Yeah, is that everything?
I think so. Yeah. Arya's friends are left thinking that she's nice and safe in Syracuse, and they're like, thank God, because Ezra's a creep.
Oh, and the last thing we see is an A scene. So A is watching old movies, so maybe it is Ezra, because we know he likes old movies.
True. And we know it's not Jake.
We know it's not Jake, exactly. And A has a stack of Ren's prescription pads for some reason.
Yeah.
So, interesting times up ahead, I think.
Oh, I wonder if Ali did only have those $5,000 and Shana's been funding it by doing weird odd jobs, funding Ali's being on the move.
I doubt it.
No, I doubt it.
Okay, it was just a theory. You guys didn't have to just straight up be like, no. Entertain me for a second.
Like, if you're going to do that, why doesn't Ali just move really far away and work herself? Why hang out in Rosewood in a hat?
Because she wants to know who killed her first.
So you guys telling me that Ali's running around Rosewood in a hat like Agent P and no one knows that Ali is alive because she's in a hat? Just like no one knows that.
I don't know where she was actually when she was making these phone calls, but it seemed to me like she was just hanging around Rosewood, catching buses with her regular face, like... Girl, what are you
doing? With her regular face. Like, what?
Allison? Perry the Allison. Perry the
Allison. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Did anyone have any worse sister stories?
You did.
The setting for this story is the shops that are semi-close to my house. I used to go to them all the time because they were the closest shops to me. They're no longer the closest shops to me. There's closer shops now. So I don't go there as often. But this day, I felt like going there. So I went, parked in the car park. So I think I'm familiar with this car park. I think I know where everything is. So I parked, go grab my stuff from the shops, come back. Now, what I didn't realize is what used to be a two-way entrance and exit has been changed into a one-way entrance, and you can drive around to exit from another place. I guess better flow of traffic. But I didn't notice this, did I? Because I went in the same way. I thought I was going to go out the same way. So I'm driving in the wrong direction. Didn't notice. People are staring at me, and I'm like, what are y'all staring at? And then I get to the exit, like where I thought was the exit, and there's a guy that's like taking up the whole lane. And so when I say the whole lane, this spot used to be used for both the entrance and the exit before. So it's wide. And he's just like in the middle of it. And I'm like, guys, like move so I can get out. So I had to just kind of like squeeze past him a little bit, get a little bit on the curve to get out.
Yeah.
I got out and then I realized, whoops, there's the exit right next to me.
Oh, no. And I thought at first you were going to say you went up to the window and you were like, can you, like, give me some room?
No. I was just
thought she was going to say she popped her tires on, like, a reverse thing.
I just got out of the entrance and everyone waited for me to do it. And they were staring at me and I was like, what? Then I realized when I left it was really embarrassing.
Well, why wouldn't they just say something? Excuse me, you're going the wrong way.
They probably thought she was being a douchebag.
Yeah, they probably did think I was being a douchebag because I did it so confidently too because, like, that's how you used to do it. But they diverted the traffic so you don't go out from that way anymore. You can only come in from that way.
If I saw someone doing that, I would assume they're just being a douchebag.
Exactly. So would I. Next week when I see someone doing that, I am going to assume they're a douchebag.
Exactly.
We weren't living together when I got my license, so the next time you saw me, You do you remember that you watched me reverse out of the house's driveway because you've never seen me drive before?
No, I don't remember that, but I believe it, but I don't remember it. Yeah, it was weird. It's weird when your little sister starts driving.
I know. It was so weird when I got to see Arzu and she was driving. She was like fully driving. I'm like, what are you doing?
Thank you everyone for joining us for this episode of Shadewood. Join us again next week for Wisteria Lane. If you want to reach out to us, like, follow, subscribe, all of the usual social media things. We're on basically every platform. You can find us at Sister Worst on X/Twitter or at Worst Sister Shire on everything else, which is Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Reddit. I'll count us out with a hadabum. One, two, three.
Had the bomb.